The scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
About the various things that Christians should be. If we were to do a survey and talk and speak to a lot of people, we'd probably receive all different types of opinions as to what exactly a Christian is. And the problem is, that's exactly what they would be, is opinions. And we're not really interested in my opinion or anyone else's opinion, but mainly what God has said on the topic. And the only way we can discover what God has said is by going to Scripture. And it's explained to us. I wanted to start off with a passage of Scripture that was just read here a few moments ago, and we're not going to read it again, but I want to hit some of the highlights of some of the things it's pointed out that what we as Christians should be doing. Number one is that we're to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I think that's a fair question that we should, each and every one of us should ask ourselves. Am I walking in a manner that is worthy of the Lord and everything that he has done for me? Coming to this earth and dying on the cross and then being resurrected and returning to heaven. Am I worthy of that, the way that I'm living my life? Also, to please God in all aspects. When we get married, we may try to please our spouse. When we're young growing up, we may try to please our parents. When we get a job, we obviously try to please our employer, our supervisors, our managers, because our future success is tied into that. So as God being our creator, we should want to try to please him. That's something that we do as Christians. Something else that we can see is that we're to bear fruit in every good work. We're going to discuss that a little bit later on. We can also see that we're to be increasing in the knowledge of God. When we are born, and then as we grow older, we begin to accumulate knowledge. One of the things I begin to notice with my grandchildren, I can see them, you know, growing and developing and learning at a very rapid rate. I went through that with my children. But I can see that I'm reminded of that with the grandchildren. We can see that we are to attain all steadfastness and patience. That's important. And giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. So I think that we can see that this is an important point that we need to consider. And there's a few other things that I'd like for us to discuss. Now, one of the first things that we're supposed to be is we're supposed to be doers and not spectators. Whenever we go to a basketball game, what do? Well, we're a spectator. We sat on the bleachers somewhere and we watch all the activities taking place on the floor. Maybe you go to watch a Colts game and there once again, you're sitting in that stadium watching the football players on the field. We're not participating. Yes, we may cheer a little bit, try to cheer the home team on, but that's all we're doing. So we can see that we're not really participating. Sometimes I think that's our attitude when it comes to worship. Well, I'm going to come and I'm going to sit on a pew and just kind of observe. I watch the people that preside in worship. I watch the preacher as he begins to speak and But that's it. That's the end of my Christian activity. And that's not what it means to be a Christian, is to be a spectator. One of the things that we can look at in James 1, 22 and 25, where we're told that we're to prove ourselves to be doers and not listeners. We can also see in Revelation 22 and verse 14, it says, blessed are those who wash their robes. Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 9, eternal life is only for the obedient. Matthew 7, verse 21, we're told that we're to do the will of God and how important that is. We can also see in Acts 5, verse 29, that we're to obey God rather than men. And that's what the apostles had said to the Jewish leaders when they had brought them in and kind of called them on the carpet, so to speak, and told them to never go out and preach and teach ever again. But they said they could only do what God wanted them to do and not man. Proverbs 28 and verse 9, if one turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So we need to be listening to the law. Well, something else that we can see is that Christians need to be wise, not foolish people of the world. The Bible speaks a lot about worldly wisdom. And in the first couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians, we can see that there were a lot of instances when people could not see, accept, and embrace the gospel because it simply didn't mesh and gel with their worldly knowledge and their worldly wisdom. The Jews really struggled with Christianity because it was foreign and different from what they had believed as Jewish people. We're told in James 1 and verse 5 that we are to ask God for wisdom. Otherwise, we may inadvertently pursue and embrace worldly wisdom. We see in 2 Timothy 3:15, through faith in Christ, scriptures can make us wise unto salvation. Matthew 10:16, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And then in Matthew 7, verse 24 through 25, we need to be wise builders. Also, we look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We need to be wise according to God and not the world. We can't get our wisdom off social media. We can't get our wisdom off talk shows on television or cable news channels. We need to get our wisdom from a heavenly source. We need to get our wisdom and our understanding from God. And we see that that has always been in conflict with worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom tells us that, well, if you want to truly be great, then you're going to have to go out and make a lot of money, and it has a very materialistic viewpoint, which is foreign and alien to everything that we read of in Scripture. That's what Satan wants us to believe and accept and embrace, is worldly wisdom, because it counters godly wisdom. Godly wisdom will get us to heaven. Worldly wisdom will result in the loss of our soul for all eternity. Well, we can also see that Christians should always be ready. How many times have we asked that? Are you ready? You know, Cindy and I may be getting ready to go somewhere, and usually she's always ready before I am. And then she'll say, are you ready? Well, you know, if I'd have been ready, I'd have been out and ready to go out the door. No, I wasn't ready. But that's her subtle way of saying we need to go. And sometimes I need to be reminded of that to make sure that we're on time. We need to be ready. Sometimes we're not as ready as we should be because we're reluctant. Maybe in the morning, you're a little bit slow. Sometimes we get up, we have a slow morning. We're just not quite with it. Things don't seem to be going well for us. And, you know, we need that second or third cup of coffee to get us going. And it's hard for us to get out the door and get to work. We're reluctant. And sometimes we're that way when it comes to our service to God. We're reluctant. Well, I'd rather stay home instead of attend worship this morning. I'd rather not make that phone call to someone who's maybe sick or ill. I don't want to send that card. I'll do it later. I'll procrastinate. All of us can fall into that trap where we put things off. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be able to rightly handle the word of truth. Now, this is a paraphrase, not an exact quotation, but we are to be able, ready to handle the word of truth. Well, how are we going to get ready to do that? We're going to have to spend some time in study and discussion. That comes over time. It doesn't just happen the snap of a finger. We grow into that. We're told that we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that's important. So we want to make sure that we accurately handle the word of truth. In Matthew 24, verse 44, always be ready for Christ's return. Christians, every single day, is today the day? Did you think about that when you got up this morning? Is today the day that the Lord is going to return? Maybe we didn't. So often we put that into the back of our mind. We say, well, yeah, I suppose it's possible, but not likely. Not likely. Probably won't happen. It didn't yesterday. It hasn't happened in the last several years. It's not going to happen today. But one day it will. And we want to make sure that we're ready for that. In Romans 1, verse 15, we're to be ready and eager to teach. Are we eager to teach someone about the Lord? Are we eager to teach someone about God and what he's done for us? We can see in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, where Jesus extends the Great Commission to the apostles. And so we see that he tells them to go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. We don't want to be reluctant in doing that. We want to be like one of the prophets that we can read of in the Old Testament when a message came from on high and said, we're looking for someone to send this message to a group of people. Can't remember which prophet it was, but he says, Lord, here am I, send me. Here I am, send me. That should be our attitude, that we're eager and that we're ready to serve the Lord. But Christians should also be forgiving. And this is something we've been discussing in our Wednesday evening Bible study class on conflict resolution and how to get along. Jesus himself taught us that we need to be ready to forgive people. Can you do that? If someone wrongs you, what's your attitude going to be? Are you going to say, well, I'm going to get back at him? I'm going to get even? Or I'm just going to blow cold air in their direction. Whenever they see me, I'm going to give them a cold, icy stare. I'm going to ignore them. If I see them, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to put them in the deep freeze, so to speak. People have all different types of ways in how to handle people who have wronged them. Sadly and unfortunately, that often happens in the marriage relationship. One argues, gets mad, and yells. One may get silent and quiet and just don't want to talk and just stay away. People have all different types of ways when they've been hurt. But we're told that we need to always have an attitude of forgiving a person and not hold grudges, especially when the person has sought out our forgiveness. That's not the way God behaves toward us. If anyone was deserving of holding a grudge, it would be God in his relationship with us and the way that we often treat him. I want you to think about something. How many times in your lifetime do you think you've disappointed God? Every time we sin, we disappoint him. So it's a whole lot, isn't it? But God, when we go to him and we ask him for forgiveness, he forgives us. And he gives us another chance. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew 18, we see in a conversation that Jesus had with Peter about how many times should you forgive someone. And we see that basically we need to have a limitless capacity to forgive, just as God extends limited capacity to us. In Luke 17, verses 3 through 4, pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I give him Now, some of us might begin reasoning, well, seven times in a day, we might say, well, this guy, he's disingenuous. He's not really sincere. I'm going to stop forgiving him. But no, Jesus says that if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. When someone asks us forgiveness and we say, well, you're not sincere, and there's times we've thought that. Maybe there are occasions when people are sending out those signals and messages, but we need to be very careful, because when we say, well, no, I'm not, because you're not sincere, now we're getting into judging territory. We're getting into God's territory. We cannot look into their mind and heart. And I realize that sometimes actions indicate that. But we need to be careful about refusing to forgive someone. Some of my lettering's off. I don't know why that's the case. We'll have to look into that. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be steadfast, not wavering or irresolute. We know what it means to be wavering. I've known some Christians like that who they're either hot or cold. They'll go through a period of time when, you know, they're there for all the services and they're energetic and they're involved and they're engaged. And then all of a sudden something happens and then they back off. And you don't see much of them for months, maybe years. And then all of a sudden they come back. They're in and out and in and out. We need to be steadfast. How many employers want to look for somebody like that? Well, for a couple of weeks, you're on time, you work hard, but then for 3 weeks, you're always late, you're skipping days, calling in sick, not your work's not of high quality. Employers aren't going to stand for that for very long. They're looking for someone who is steady. Sometimes we use the word steady. Someone who's steady and dependable, who's going to be there every day, be on time, ready to work, earning a day's work for, or a day's pay for a day's work. We need to not be wavering. In Acts 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. After that day when 3,000 people were baptized into Christ, it wasn't like, okay, we're all going to go home now and ignore each other. It wasn't like, okay, we'll get together every Sunday for an hour or two. No, there was enthusiasm. There was passion. People were saying, well, we want to wait till Sunday. Why can't we get together, some of us, and study and listen to one of the apostles on Monday? And what about Tuesday? And also keep in mind that these people still had the same responsibilities we did. They still had work. They had families. They had children that they needed to attend to. But yet they wanted to learn. They were steadfast, looking for every opportunity, creating many, many opportunities so they could learn and grow. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. Be strong. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. And we can also see that Christians should be peaceable and not argumentative. Now, that's one of the key points we've been looking at in our Wednesday evening Bible study class. We need to be peaceable, being able to get along, not argumentative. I've known some people in my life that they just seem to love to argue. No matter what situation comes up, they're going to argue. They don't like this, they don't like that, they disagree. And sometimes you sit in a business meeting and you can just see, you know, a lot of the men who are really frustrated by individuals like this. Romans 12, verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 14, verse 19, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Matthew 5, 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And then in 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 2, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We need to pray that we can get along peacefully. We sometimes forget, as human beings, we need all the help we can get. We think that we can just handle anything and everything, and that we're so wise and so smart and so intelligent. But yet all we have to do is look throughout the world, even in our own country, and we see a lot of dumb things going on every day. People can't get along. People can't cooperate. Can't come to any kind of an agreement. We see that God is looking for people that are faithful, not unreliable or insincere. Kind of goes hand in hand with what we said earlier about being steadfast. Revelation 2 and verse 10, we're to be faithful unto death. Revelation 14, verse 13, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Matthew 10, 22, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And then in James 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Are you faithful? Are you dependable? And God looks down from heaven on you personally, and does he look at it, see a person, well, I can depend on them. If there's a job that needs to get done, they'll do it or do the very best they possibly can. Or when he looks down and sees us, does he say, oh, there's that old Gary. He's going to try to hide out somewhere. He's scared to death. He might be asked to do something. Can't depend on him. He's just trying to avoid things. Now, something else that we can see is as we conclude at what we've been looking at this morning, that Christians should be doers. They should be wise. They should be ready. They should be forgiving, they should be steadfast, they should be peaceable, and they should be faithful. This is by no means an exhaustive list, but it does describe what God expects of each and every one of us and what it means to be a Christian. Sometimes we think, well, it just means to attend worship on Sunday. That's important. We've been commanded to do that. We need to do that. Crucial to our salvation, but there's a lot more involved as well. Pray.